This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Hi everyone, I'm Jen. I'm part of this Leeds Vineyard community, this church. I'm married to Ollie, the bed-raised man. We have two little people, Will and Esme, out in the children's groups today. This time on a Sunday, you normally find me about eight rows back there. That's my pew. It's not mine, really. And sorry, I could know some of you better if I maybe changed it up a bit. And so I'll be on the balcony next week. Sally talked last week on approaching God. And I'm going to take you through a crash course today on how to influence people, how to get what you want from people. So drawing from examples from my own life, I will explain the five main techniques which you too can employ to get access to the things you want, the things you need. So here we go. First up, approach number one. Bring in the big guns. The approach I refer to as bringing in the big guns is somewhat simpler than it sounds. Since you don't actually need to bring those guns anywhere, it's more a smoke and mirrors approach, or lying in the threat. So I use this technique in my own home. Do it now or I will call Father Christmas. Do it now or I'll call Optimus Prime. Stop that or I'll call Mrs. Trunchbull. You can go one step further, in fact, from threat to illusion. So here I might email someone with a request, but copy in someone with influence into the email, donald@whitehouse.com. You can normally depend on getting a response within a few hours, because it's not often what you know, but who you know. Use and exploit your networks to maximum impact, to bring those in power in line with your agenda. Approach number two, the heartstring. Once upon a time, my husband, the good Mr. Molyneux, wanted a dog. Now, some of you may know that Oliver is not a man to beat about the bush. He asserted his right to own a dog. He would even pick up the feces. I pointed out that a decision like this should be accompanied by a proper consideration of pros and cons, costs and gains. So one evening, Ollie presented me with his research. His supposed list of pros and cons consisted merely of images of cute puppies, labradoodles, snuggly poodles, and cutesy collies. A dog would be trusty, dependable. Ginger. Sorry, it was Ginger in the end, but I just had Ginger on the brain there. Cuddly, you get the picture. Emotional blackmail right there. Approach number three, the squeaky wheel. So Mr. Molyneux adeptly employed the heartstring technique, but he combined it with this next approach, which we call the squeaky wheel. Every day, Ollie asked me for a dog. Can I have a dog? Can I have a dog? And he pestered. Wear down your subject with nagging and then pester. Oil that squeaking wheel for a quiet life. We got the dog. It was a ginger dog. It's quite cute, actually. The rest is history. History since we'd compromised by getting an old dog, so old that it died 5 weeks after we got it. No. It wasn't funny at the time. Oh, Bracken. Approach number four, crashing on. Shy Ben's getting out. I'm not going to use the accent required. Now, I'm not a lady to walk around with a handbag full of tomato sauce sachets, but I once did develop a habit of walking past the Clinique counter and asking to see if they had any free stuff. You know, mini complimentary bottles, because it's expensive, isn't it? £30 a pop. You may have heard it said that if you don't ask, you don't get. And I found that inquiring as to whether Claudia at the Clinique counter had any free stuff didn't always meet with a result. But querying whether it'd be possible for her to give me a small bottle of dramatically different moisturising lotion, that seemed to work. As Mark, our in-house patent lawyer, will tell us, we need to contract in the clauses that count. Lock them down on the detail. Define your deal up front, and you will be more likely to bag it. In the end, my sister gave me a Clinique voucher as I was embarrassing her. Next up, approach number 5, smells and bells. I refer to this technique as smells and bells, but it does require a little planning for maximum impact. In short, work those gestures, gifts, shows of affection. It could be jewellery, it could be toys, a hamper full of artisan tea, a car, or perhaps a cow. Yes, animal sacrifice may have fallen out of favour somewhat, but the principle lives on in the modern world. Offer a token to demonstrate how very much you want or deserve a certain outcome. Let me take you back many years. I was peddling away in an overstretched public service, the local planning office. It wasn't more exciting than it sounds. I had demands on my time in the form of a chunky in-tray of letters from members of the public, all with their own requests. Now, this gentleman called me on a couple of occasions. He wanted me to fix it for him to put a casino in his front garden. I said I was very busy, and I would reply to his letter in due course. The next day, there was a massive bunch of flowers delivered to my office reception. Imagine my embarrassment as all of the colleagues in my open plan office thought I had lucked out in procuring Mr. Wright. But no, it was Mr. I want a casino in my front garden, wanting me to get to his place in my in-tray. I'm embarrassed to say that I replied to his letter straight away. I had to declare his gesture in the book. But I can't tell you whether he got his casino. So there we have it. That's our 5-step model to acquiring the things that we need in life. Our 5-step model to influence and acquiring the things that we want. You may associate these approaches with the wicked and crooked barons around the globe who can corrupt society with their bribes and manipulation. Or you may have used them in your own lives. But the ways of the world stand in stark contrast to how things work in God's kingdom. How do things work in God's kingdom? We don't need hard cash or friends in high places. If we want something, if we need help, we can simply come directly to God with our requests. We're thinking about petition today. Petitionary prayer, you might call it, or you might call it asking for help, asking for stuff, because that's really all it is. The Bible gave us a pretty simple model for petitionary prayer. Jesus taught the disciples to pray with the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 11, he says we should ask simply like this: give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread reminds us that, as the book of Exodus tells us in the Bible, God sustained Moses and the Israelites as they wandered in the desert, sending bread like manna every morning to tend to their physical needs. The request for daily bread, for daily sustenance, is, I think, really significant. If the Israelites collected up the bits of manna to save them for tomorrow and the next day, it attracted maggots, it went off, it was no good. Instead, they were to rely on God's daily provision. His heart is that we draw close to him and rely on him each day in the little as well as the big things. So we can ask God to provide for our daily needs. We get that. We can pray for our daily needs, necessities, okay. Luxuries seem perhaps a less legitimate type of request. Are we sure we can petition God to provide us with the finer things, less manna in the desert and more M&S, olive and walnut, sourdough cob? Maybe Alejandra Green with a bit of smashed Avo on top. As my dear Ollie once put it when I asked him to build me a wardrobe, they don't have wardrobes in refugee camps. Smart, very smart. How could I, selfish wretch, possibly be preoccupied with where I might hang my clothes when some people in the world don't even have clothes on their back? Pete Gregg, the guy doing the prayer course that we're following at the moment, put it a helpful way. He explained that he's got two kids and sometimes he buys them ice cream. Not every day, that wouldn't be good for them, but sometimes he gets it for them as a treat. And I think putting it in that context helps us to understand that we are the children in this scenario and our Heavenly Father loves to give us good gifts just because he cares for us. We might not always get ice cream from God. We know by now that God does not offer a quick route to riches. We know he doesn't assure us of a life free from pain. Liz Harden is going to talk next week about what we do when we have come to God with our requests but not seen the answer that we longed for. Give us today our daily bread. Put simply, please give me what I need, even then what I want. We don't need to stand on ceremony. We don't need to use fancy words. We can simply ask. And simple though it may be, do we ever take for granted that we have unfettered direct access to the creator of the universe and that we are able to take our requests to him? Let's go to the Bible and unpack that a bit. So we're looking at the book of Hebrews. There'll be some Bibles going around if you need one to refer to. It's right about there, so nearing the back sixth of the Bible. So Hebrews 10, let's look it up together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22, the first half of 22. Just raise your hand for Annie if you want a Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. And I'll read. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up to us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. During the lifetime of Jesus, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem was the center of religious life. This is where animal sacrifices were made and where the law of Moses was followed. God was worshipped there according to the old law. At the front of the temple was the Holy of Holies, and this was the earthly dwelling place. This is where God's presence rested. A grand curtain separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, and the only person with access to the Holy of Holies was the high priest. And he was permitted to pass once a year on the Day of Atonement. So it was out of access. This was a beast of a curtain, about 60 foot high, and maybe even 4 inches thick. It was made of blue and purple, some scarlet, fine twisted linen. The curtain stood in the way of people getting into the presence of God. It signified that we are separated from God. The size of this curtain made what happened at the moment of Jesus' death all the more momentous. Matthew records what happened at the moment of Jesus' death. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain being torn in two is a fact of history. So let's look again at Hebrews 10 to understand the significance for us. Look back at it if you've got it open. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have this great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. Through Jesus' death, we have then a new high priest, Jesus himself. Access to the Holy of Holies, access to God's presence has been granted for all people, all time. There are no barriers to overcome. We can go right into the presence of God. We can approach him directly, presenting our requests to him. A new high priest, like an intermediary. Well, when we think of it like that, we might start to wonder whether our bringing out the big guns technique might actually have a bit of mileage. Perhaps in the right hands, used in the right way, our 5 techniques need not be so manipulative a set of approaches. Perhaps we could even learn a bit about how we might present our request to God, a model for our petition even. So let's revisit them. Approach number one, we had bringing out the big guns. We don't need a high court judge or friends in high places to lobby God on our behalf. We can go right into the presence of God and present our requests to him. But what makes that privilege possible? Jesus is our intermediary. Jesus is our great high priest. He makes access, direct access to the creator of the universe possible through his sacrifice. So we need to pray in Jesus' name when we present our requests. And in this sense, we are bringing in our big gun. So Jesus is our big gun. I never thought I'd say that. Approach one, step one, bring in our intermediary and pray in the name of Jesus, our big gun. Approach number two, the heartstring. We don't need to use emotional blackmail like Ollie did to influence our God. But when we go right into the presence of God, we can be ourselves, we can be honest, we can share our deepest desires and longings. And there is lots of this in the Psalms in the Bible. We can learn from David's prayer to God. In Psalm 56, for example, David is seized by the Philistines. He's in fear of his life. He's himself, honest, angry, desperate. He's intimate with his God. Back to approach number three, the squeaky wheel. So let's remember, this involved pestering and nagging, put simply. In fact, this technique goes back as far as the Bible. So one of Jesus' stories in the book of Luke goes, a certain Mr. Judge about town got so wearied by the persistent nagging of a local lady in need of justice that he granted her justice against her adversary just because he got fed up. To heck with law and order. How much more will our God bring about justice for those that ask him and ask him again and ask him again? It's a conundrum, really. God already knows what we need, but it does something to our character and our heart when we keep on praying, when we persist and we wait. And Liz Harden will be talking a bit about this next week. Thinking again about approach number four, shy bairns getting out. We know that we get from God. We have so much to be thankful for, even stuff we haven't ever asked for. But it does say in the Bible, James says, you don't have because you don't ask God. And that suggests, doesn't it, that we're living with situations that might be resolved if we were only to ask for God's source of help and provision for our situation. It might be that we're asking God, but we are just being a little bit vague, a little bit general in our requests. Jesus and his disciples were once leaving Jericho and went past two blind men, sat by the roadside. They heard Jesus go by. They shouted for Jesus, have mercy on us. They were vague in their request. Jesus heard them and he said, well, what would you like me to do for you? You'd think it would be obvious, they couldn't see. Jesus wanted them to tell him what their request was, even though it was pretty obvious. The men wanted their sight. So they said, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them, touching their eyes. Their request was granted. And they followed Jesus from there. When they considered what they wanted from him and asked for that, then their faith was rewarded. So good to be specific. It's nice enough to pray for blessings over our family, over our colleagues. But perhaps we need to just make it a little bit more specific. Then we will know what the answer is when it comes. I and a friend that I used to pray with once had this realization that we tended to be a little bit general about what we ask God to do for ourselves, for other people. We determined to pray a little bit more specifically and to remember to pray in the small things as well as the massive things. The next day, I traveled back to the city where I was a student with a load of heavy bags because we used textbooks in those days for computers. Instead of boarding a bus to my halls of residence with my massive suitcase, I ended up on a motorway flyover, getting off the wrong bus in frustration before I realised there was no one around to ask directions of and there were no signs. I was a bit stuck with my big bag. No massive deal, really. I just didn't know which way to turn. So I sent up a little arrow prayer that God would show me the way to go. Out of nowhere came jogging a girl I'd once known way back, a children's worker from my home church, also miles from her home. She cheerily pointed me on my way and just jogged on. A bit surreal, really. God was at work in the specific and small comings and goings of my life. I once asked a nice boss to give me a reference to work in another role within the same organisation. He said, what do you want me to say? I was a bit indignant. He was the boss. He knows how things work after all. And I was asking him for a reference, not myself. But actually, it did make me think about the skills I would need for the post. It made me articulate what I felt I could offer. It made me think about what I actually wanted, where I was going, how I'd get there. No harm in doing the same with our God. It is worth thinking about what we want God to do in our lives, in the lives of others, and then asking specifically for the things that we want to see. back to approach number five. Do you remember smells and bells? Are we living in the reality that we don't need to impress or give anything to God in order to receive from him? He doesn't give to get. There are no conditions to his generosity. It's a funny paradox, though, that we do need to wrap our petitions, our requests up in a life more widely spent in God's company. A life more widely spent pleasing him, not just giving of our time, our wealth, our talents, but let's please him through a life more widely spent in his company. Parents are often blessed by children who approach them, not just because they want something when they want something, but because they want to be with them, want their company, want to walk alongside them, rather than just bothering them when they want a certain thing. Offer of yourself to God, sacrifice of yourself, and you will find that God will shape your requests and petitions to him, and he will work out amazing answers to prayer in your life. In confusion, we sometimes don't know what we want. So God can shape our requests. What a powerful name it is. So we revisit our model then. And this is how we present our requests to God. Bring in the big guns. Ask in Jesus' name, our great high priest, who gives us access to God of the universe. The heartstring, come to him as yourself. Be honest. Share your desires. The squeaky wheel, be persistent. Keep it up. Shy bairns getting out. Ask, but ask specifically. Smells and bells. Wrap your requests up in a life more widely spent living to please God. We sang just a few minutes ago, death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. Because of Jesus' great sacrifice, the curtain was torn in two, and we can go directly into the presence of God. With this access granted, it is our privilege to come to our God and ask. We can be honest and share our desires. We can present our requests to God and let him change things. Let him change us. Let him change people. Let him change history. I want us to ponder on this privilege. I want us to ponder on this opportunity and present requests for others and ourselves. Let us not squander it. Let us dwell on what answers to prayer we might see if we were to simply come and ask. I'll hand back to Pastor David.
Stay with me. Wasn't that great? Wasn't that wonderful? I've just left my notes behind. So I'd love to pray. Love to pray in response to that. I think there's for some of you, it's you've never sort of clicked with the idea that you can actually go to God like that. You overlooked that, and never understood that it's that closer relationship. So I'd love to pray for you if that's you. And there's probably many people here who've got something they're praying for regularly. A thing for themselves or for others. And this morning, why don't you pray it with somebody else? And we'll love to put somebody alongside you just to pray the prayer with you. So why don't we stand? And we'll just ask the Spirit of God to come. And in a moment, if you want to come forward in response to those things, I'll invite you. So we're just going to pray. We're going to walk through that curtain because it's been torn apart, and we're going to stand in his presence. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come.